So we're reading these Sunday evenings, we're reading in 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, sitting as he is in a Roman prison, knowing that at some point he's going to be executed, and yet wanting to encourage Timothy in particular, who's sitting not in Rome but in Ephesus with the church there, the responsibility of the church there, with kind of enemies out with the church and enemies in one way or another within it. And this is what he's saying. We're going to read from 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, where the apostle writes this. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. And yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Amen. And may God bless to us the reading of his word.
Good evening. I want to thank God tonight for this opportunity once again to gather together in worship. So we have read this evening from 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 8 to verse 18. And our theme this evening is hold fast to the pattern. Hold fast to the pattern. That is the theme that I got from that passage. We are continuing with our series on 2 Timothy. In every society, there is a phrase which is popular, which is common, which is called the famous last words. The famous last words. It is a phrase that has been used almost everywhere, referring to the words that are spoken by great people or our loved ones when they are about to die. People are interested in knowing what they said, what were their last words when they were about to die. So it is common with us that when our loved ones are about to die, we normally gather at their side and we strain to hear every whispered syllable of their last words. These could be words of insight or words of wisdom that they might want to leave with us before they die. We try to get every word of blessing, every word of encouragement and advice, knowing that this will be their last chance to talk to us. So one of the most knowledgeable, influential and beloved men of history is Apostle Paul. And 2 Timothy is his famous last words as he was in prison waiting to be executed. So he was facing death, not from a disease. Physically, he was very much alive, but his condition was terminal. His condition was terminal. He was convicted as a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. That was the offense for which he was convicted. So he sat in a cold Roman prison. He was sitting in a cold Roman prison as he wrote this letter, cut off from the world, maybe with a visitor or two per day, and his writing material. He knew that he was going to be executed. So he wrote to his son Timothy, passing on to him the torch of leadership. Timothy was supposed to remain and lead the church. By the time this letter was written, he was leading the church in Ephesus. So Paul wrote this letter to pass on the torch of leadership to Timothy. He was reminding him of what is really important, or what was really important, and encouraging him in the faith. So today's passage is part of what Paul wrote to Timothy as his last words. The passage has two imperatives. It has two imperatives that we should take home. Verse 13 says, hold fast, hold fast. That is verse 13. Verse 14 says, keep, guard, or protect. Paul said, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. You should hold fast to the pattern of sound words. We said the theme tonight is hold on to the pattern. Hold on to the pattern of sound words. When we hear the word pattern, we think of maybe an architect's blueprint for a building, the pattern, the plan. So Paul gave Timothy a pattern to follow, a pattern to follow as he would remain and lead the church. He was supposed to follow a particular pattern. And we may ask, what was the pattern? What was the pattern that Paul left to Timothy? Did Paul give him a creed to adhere to? No, he didn't give him a creed. Did he give him an abstract divinity to follow? No, he didn't do that. Paul was saying to Timothy, when I was preaching in your hearing, you must have had certain grand outlines of truth. You know, when you have a pastor, like when you have David here, there are patterns of words that he repeats. No matter what passage of scripture he opens, he always repeat those. It will be like that is his theological template that you always remember. Even when he is no longer in your midst, you remember that he said this. So this is what Paul was saying to Timothy. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words. When I was preaching in your hearing, you must have heard certain grand outlines of truth. you must have heard me insist upon a certain pattern or a form of truth. You must have heard me emphasizing salvation that comes by faith in Christ Jesus. You might have heard me talking about faith that works through love. Faith that works through love. So the pattern that Paul was referring to was the pattern of faith first. By faith, we believe the word and we are saved. And we get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in love, we practice the word that we believed. So it is faith that works through love. That is the pattern of sound words. We are saved by faith. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we get Christ's righteousness upon us. We get the imputed righteousness upon us. After getting that then we practice our faith in love. So that's the pattern that he was referring to. So the pattern consists of faith and love in Christ Jesus our Lord. We live in a world that believes it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe it strongly enough. But the Bible tells us that it matters what you believe. It matters what you believe. It matters who you believe. Because it is that which determines your life or your destruction. But the pluralistic world that we live in would just encourage people to believe anything, and as long as they believe it strongly enough, they just say it's okay, which means the world has lost the truth. The world has lost the truth. Everyone will just believe in something that he thinks is his or her own truth. So Paul knew that after he is gone, so many truths would manifest. So Timothy was supposed to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. He was supposed to hold fast because there were so many other ways that were not sound. So he was also to guard, keep, and protect the sound teaching that he heard from Paul, so that it would not be corrupted through distortion. The sound words were in danger of being corrupted through distortion, through dilution, through deletion, through addition. So he was supposed to hold fast because all these heresies, all this corruption of the sound word, the sound words would want to take away the sound, the pattern of sound words that Timothy was supposed to inherit from Paul. So Timothy was supposed to guard through the power of the Holy Spirit, because humanly speaking, he would obviously lose it. Others had already abandoned the faith, because this was a very difficult time. There was persecution like we heard David speaking about last Sunday. There was persecution, and Christianity, being a Christian, you were considered to be a criminal. So persecution was some kind of pressure that would pressurize Christians to lose the pattern of sound words. So in this passage, Paul mentions that others had already abandoned the faith. He says those from Asia had already abandoned faith. And among the deserters, he mentions Phygellus and Hermogenes as the most known among the deserters. It seems like it was so painful for Paul to mention these deserters, these people who had abandoned the faith. These people who could not hold fast to the pattern of sound words. So it was painful for other brothers and sisters in Christ to hear that Phygellus and Hermogenes had abandoned the faith. They could not hold fast to the pattern of sound words. It was very painful. So the apostasy that took place in Asia, or amongst the brethren, the brothers and sisters in Asia, might have shaken the hearts of many in Paul's time. You know, when people desert the faith, when people abandon the faith, they usually talk ill about the faith in order to justify their actions. They usually make false accusations, as much false accusations as they can, against the good and faithful ministers of the gospel. So I just assume that maybe Phygellus and Hermogenes, they might have attacked Paul's innocence with false accusations. So it was very painful to him. That's why he mentions them. That, you know, those in Asia have already abandoned the faith. These popular brothers have already abandoned the faith. They couldn't hold fast. This was an example of people who couldn't hold fast to the pattern of sound words. They failed to hold fast. They let it down. They lost the faith. They were deserters. They deserted the faith. They deserted the other brethren. They were ashamed of other believers. And maybe they were ashamed of Paul's imprisonment, and they left the faith. But he had good news. He had also a good illustration of a certain brother who was a good example of somebody who managed to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. He talks about Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus held fast to the pattern of sound words. Paul said that he refreshed him like a cool breeze. His works of faith and love refreshed Paul like a cool breeze. He was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of Paul's imprisonment. He managed to hold fast. He eagerly searched for Paul when he was in prison in Rome until he found him. Paul was in a hard to find location. Friends had actually lost contact with him. But Onesiphorus went to much trouble to track him down. It was dangerous to track a prisoner like Paul, to track him down, to try and find him, because he was risking to be arrested also. But he shamelessly identified with the prisoner, with the imprisoned Paul. And Paul mentions that he had also previously saved him in Ephesus. So this was an example, an illustration of somebody who managed to hold fast, from which we should also learn tonight that we should hold fast to the pattern of sound words. There are so many unsound words, so many heresies in a pluralistic world. But we should hold fast to the pattern of sound words that we have heard as a community of faith. So we should learn from Onesiphorus. He had interest and he refreshed those who were persecuted during his time. How much interest do we have in the struggles of the persecuted church in the world? How much interest are we showing towards our brothers and sisters in the world who are under persecution? We should increase our practical help to them. Let's write to them if we know them. It refreshes them. If we know people who are persecuted, say in Ukraine or other parts of the world, in Russia or other parts of the world, we should refresh them like a cool breeze. We should write to them. We should talk to them. We should increase our practical help to them. That is an example of holding fast, identifying with the Church of God, holding fast to the pattern of sound words. So we are encouraged tonight to hold fast to our faith in Christ and to guard against any heresy, to guard against any heresy, any unsound words that may come to us. We should hold fast in the face of trouble. We should be able to hold fast in the face of calamity. We should be able to hold fast in the face of persecution, in the face of hunger, in the face of destitution. We should hold fast to the pattern of sound words. In the face of danger and threat of death, we should hold fast. All these things that I've mentioned can pressure us to drop our faith, to desert, to abandon our faith, but we should hold fast to the pattern of sound words. So this passage that we read to this evening, it reminds me of Polycarp, a Christian bishop of Smyrna. He was a disciple of John, the disciple of Jesus Christ. He died for his faith. He was bound and bent on the stake, and then stabbed. When the fire failed to consume his body, he was stabbed. But before he died, or before he was bent on the stake, he was recorded as saying on the day of his death, because he died at 86, when he was 86. So he said, 86 years I have saved him, and he has done me no wrong. How then could I blaspheme my king who saved me? He managed to hold fast, even in the face of death. He managed to hold fast. We have many examples throughout the Bible of people who managed to hold fast, even in the face of death. We can remember, or we can talk of Daniel in the lion's den, his three friends in the furnace, even Joseph in a foreign land, and so many others who are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. They managed to hold fast against different pressures. We remember Noah, who managed to hold fast against time. When he was preaching, he preached for 120 years and people were not repenting, but he continued. He held fast to what he had, to what God had told him. So we have a challenge in our time to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. At least we have the Bibles that contain the sound words. We should hold fast to them. We have good examples, a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of people that managed to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Even the Apostle Paul himself, he managed to hold fast. And he wrote it to Timothy in this letter that we are learning from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He wrote that, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That was his aim, to keep the faith. He could have mentioned that I preached in so many places. I even raised this boy who fell from the window when I was preaching. He did not mention all that. He says at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We should hold fast. We should keep the faith. Keep the faith. Against all odds, let's keep the faith. So that is the message tonight. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you saved us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the story of our salvation. Thank you for this eternal story, a collection of sound words. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you interpreted the message to us through the foolishness of preaching. We got the message by faith and we are saved. Help us to keep and to guard this pattern of sound words, so that at the end of this life, we can stand and say, we fought a good fight. We have finished the race. We managed to keep the faith. Help us to keep the faith. Help us to keep the pattern, to hold fast to the pattern of sound words in a world that is liberal, in a world that is pluralistic. May you help us, Holy Spirit, to keep and guard that which you have put in us, so that we can soldier on until the last day, until the end of our time in this flesh. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.